So the scripture today.
Does that sound weird?
Okay. Oh, okay. Well, the scripture today is 2 Chronicles. It may look familiar to you, right? Okay. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. The title today is If. I will be very candid, as I typically am here. I remember being probably early teens, mid-teens, and I felt so bad. I would come to church sometimes, and if grandma was preaching, the message was typically the same. Grandma always wanted you to get right with Jesus. And she would have, no matter what, it'd be different scriptures the next time, but the same theme, get right with Jesus. I swear she had about 90,000 different scriptures to say, get right with Jesus. I would feel bad sometimes. I'd come and she'd speak because she'd be very honest. She'd say, she'd go down this long list of sins. And she was bold enough to say, like, she'll say, drunkenness? Is that you? Anybody have a problem with that? And I'll be like, you know what? Is this over? And I would always have a hard time with certain scriptures. She'd give this list of sins. And I'd hear that list. And I never wanted to read that stuff because I knew it was certain things that I wasn't ready to let go of. Maybe I'm just not fit for the work that God wants me to do because I'm listening to this list. And I'm like, oh, wow, I checked that one. Whoops, whoops. You know, oh, that's me again. Well, maybe I'll grow out of it. But right now, I just don't feel like I'm fit based on these things. And this is what wicked people do. It's like, man, Someday maybe I'll get some of these things right. And again, always shying away from scriptures that discuss things that I wasn't ready to let go of. I shy away from scriptures that talk about things that I struggle with. I don't want to hear that stuff over and over again. But what I realize in this scripture, as unfit as I felt, I was still God's child. Amen. That's right. And he was still willing to use me. Yeah. This, and we're going to stay here. The scripture says, if my people. And that's something I stumbled with. I didn't know. I felt like if I did these certain things and if I didn't check all of these boxes and if I was guilty of some of the sins that the Bible outlays, that I didn't know that I was God's man. I didn't know that I belonged to him. I felt like I was pretty good. I was a nice guy, but there were too many things I just wasn't living up to. But he still said in this verse, he said, if my people. So I had to know that I was one of his people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. I had an issue. Because when it comes to priorities, I was here and God was here. I was number one. The first thing he says is, this is basically outlining a contract. He says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. That's the first part of the contract. It's four stipulations that God has placed upon man. And the order of those things is very important. Because, see, you can, if you're not going to humble yourself, what does that mean? That means to basically get your priorities straight and lower yourself to the position that you need to be in respect to God and where he needs to be. But if you don't do that, if you don't admit or respect God enough, then you're not going to pray. First of all, you have to know, in order for you to pray and seek his face, you already have to put yourself in proper perspective. You have to say to oneself that I don't know everything. I can't do everything. I do need help. I don't have all the answers. If you come to me for help, but you're not willing to get the answers, that or you're not willing to take my advice, then I can't help you. So he says, after you humble yourself, after you lower yourself, then you can pray, because now you're in the right spot. Alrighty. Now you know that you need me. He says, and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. How many of you know that you can do some wicked things, but still be a child of God? It says he's not talking to the wicked and the lost generation that's, you know, doomed to damnation. These are his people. But just because you lie doesn't make you a liar. Just because he's saying, just because you do some wicked things, you do things that wicked people do, I'm still talking to you. I have not abandoned you. You still belong to me. But there are consequences for doing things that wicked people do. I'm not saying you're wicked. I'm not saying you're damned. I'm not damned, but I still have consequences if I'm going to do these things that wicked people typically do. But he says, after the four terms of the agreement, he says, all right, now it's my turn. You do 1, 2, 3, 4, and this is what I'll do. He says, and turn from your wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Sometimes you can get so caught up in your day to day. You ever take a look around your yard or around your property and say, man, those roses not doing so well this year. Oh, man, these azaleas look a little wilted. Man, the roses don't look good. The tea roses don't look good. Oh, man, I put grass seed out last year, and, man, some of it didn't come up. And what did come up has got brown patches, and I don't know what. Maybe I got a bad bag of seed. What's happened is when he says he'll heal your land, do you know we still depend on land today, even though a lot of us have gotten away from farming and cattle and stuff? But let there be a drought, and you will find out how much we actually still depend on land. Because you might say, well, I'll just go to the grocery store. Well, I'm a vegan. I don't need meat anyway. Okay, but let that drought hit, and you won't get anything to eat. The shelves will be empty. But you look around, and you see these places, and land, it symbolizes our lives. I look over here, and you ever take inventory of what's going on with you? And you're like, oh, man, like, this is fine, but my money is messed up. Or this is good, but my kids are acting a monkey. Like, or, man, my relationship with this woman, oh, man, isn't necessarily going the way I thought it would go. There's different pockets of your life that you're not happy with. They're not going as planned. But this is the beauty. You know, some contracts have several hundred pages. This is the beauty of this one, because it's very simple. Because I don't have to know what you're going through, because if my people, well, Eric, you don't know what it is, but I struggle, but if my people. When it says he'll heal your land, it doesn't say anything specific, because it's all encompassing. You know the number, what's number 7? 7 mean to God? Completeness, perfection. You pay attention to this contract, and I'm going to tell you why this is the perfect contract. It says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall, 1, humble themselves and pray, that's 2, seek my face is 3, turn from their wicked ways is 4. Our part of the contract, I will hear from heaven, 5, forgive their sin, 6, and heal their land, 7. Very simple, but perfect. It's perfect in the fact that it doesn't matter what's wrong. You just know that things aren't growing. There are areas in your life that are dying. Some are dead, but if you humble yourself and pray and seek my face and turn from your wicked ways, he will heal your land. And some of us are in dire need of our land being healed because there's nothing that we can do about it. You can't make it rain. You can't. You can't make anything grow. But you can see that things are dying. Some things are not working. This isn't fertile over here. This is rough and stony over here. But it says, he will heal our land. It was mentioned, I think, gosh, I feel like it's been coming up for the past three Sundays, but our pastor said something that was very important. You know, sometimes, and I've heard people say that, man, you know, God, why? Like, I feel like God is beating up on me. I feel like he's punishing me for something. But sometimes it never occurs to you that he has stopped the rain and allowed the drought and sent the pestilence to bring you back to where you need to be. It's not that you're, he is not into dooming you or punishing you. In fact, he gave his son. Why did he give his son? Because he missed us. That's simple as that. He missed you. He wants to be with you. The separation, he had separation anxiety when we were separated from him. He didn't like it. And he just wants to be with us. It's not for punishment. He says, the scripture, can we go to, I said just this one, but can we go to 12, just up a couple verses? I don't have anything with me. I don't have my Bible. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard that prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. And then to 13. And then he says, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, it is all of these ifs. But why is he doing this stuff? Because the next scripture says, if my people who are called by my, yes, if I do this stuff, he says, Solomon, I'm going to tell you, if you see these things happening, you know why. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. It's not a punishment. But when you look around in your life and you see things drying up, if the locusts have come after some things and swept your land dry, if it's dry, if it's not fertile, it's because he misses you. And he will do whatever he needs to do in your life, including stop the rain, let the locusts come through, sweep you dry, if need be, just to get back in fellowship with you. I'm not saying that there aren't any consequences for the things that we do. One of the toughest things for me to grasp was that I was responsible for every part, every word, every sentence, every scripture of the Bible. I was very used to picking and choosing, you know, and skirting around. I'm not going to read that scripture because that's talking about me and I don't like being talked about. Especially in this light, especially when I'm reading the chapters on sin and what sin is and this one and that one and the degrees of sin. I was like, nah, next chapter where he says, I will bless you. And yes, there are consequences, but I don't want us to beat ourselves up. I don't want you to think like I thought that, man, if I'm struggling in these areas, and there's quite a few of them, and I know the word speaks against it, man, am I just evil? Like, am I wicked? No, probably not. You're just one of his people. And you're doing some not so good things, which is fine. Because if we humble ourselves, I don't care what it is. I don't care what areas are dry. I don't care what's dead. He gave us a very simple contract. If, then. If you, then I. And God is really, really good about keeping his end of the bargain. And no matter how complicated it feels like what we're going through is, it's always very simple. It's a 7-part contract. You've got 4 things to do, and he will do 3, and that's all you'll need. It's a perfect contract. I don't have anything else. I don't. I think that's it. Yeah, that's it. If there's anyone at this time that needs to come up for prayer for any reason, I guess now is the time to do so.